ever have things when you was a kid, you know, you wanted to be on a team, and they pick teams, you know, I'll take you, and you kind of got passed over till the end. You didn't have to raise hands. I would have guessed. Just kidding.
Me.
But you get passed over sometimes and kind of get left out. Maybe you had a job, you know, you thought you deserved and were in the running and got passed over for that job. But hands are still going up.
Three?
Maybe there's parties. You didn't get an invitation. But, you know, sometimes being passed over is not bad. Sometimes you get passed over for a job or something, and it's because there's something better after that. Something better in mind for you. Something better that's coming up. So we're going to talk about Passover today a little bit. Passover is about ready to start. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to be in Exodus 12, 17 through 28. And we're going to talk about how that Passover is actually a deliverance. It actually is a good thing. And we know the Old Testament is always a shadow of Jesus. So we're going to see Jesus in all of this. So we're going to be in Exodus 12. We're going to read 17 through 28. It says, now he's already been talking a little bit about grabbing a lamb and unblemished and the kind of the rules to cook it and eat it and what to do with it. And we're going to pick it up from there. It says, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your house. And anyone, whether foreign or native-born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you, then tell them, it's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped, and the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word again. Just open it up to us in a new and mighty way. Just help us to dig deep and to see your meaning in it. And let the Holy Spirit speak to each one as he will. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we know Passover again is a shadow of Jesus, like most Old Testament things. It's talking about that in Hebrews. It's a shadow. It's not the substance. Jesus is the object of the substance, but they're told to take a spotless lamb, kill the spotless lamb, eat it, put its blood on the top of the door and over the doorpost, and then when death would see the blood, it would pass by, therefore pass over, and then those in that home would be saved from death. It's also a shadow of communion with the eating of the bread for the broken body and drinking of the wine for the blood of Christ. But we see a lot of similarities. I'm going to go over just three of them. The Passover lamb was chosen and set apart on the 10th day of Nisan, which was March-April time period, which we're in. So it was set apart. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as the King of Peace on the 10th day of Nisan. He was set apart. He knew what he was coming for. The lamb was to be inspected for 4 days. until the 14th of Nisan to make sure it didn't have spots and blemishes, and it was the perfect sacrifice. During that week, Jesus taught in the temple until the 14th of Nisan. And the Bible says no fault was found in him. And then we know the Passover lambs were slain by Israel for the remembrance of salvation from Egypt. And we know Jesus was crucified at the same time as the Passover lambs were being slaughtered. He was killed for true salvation for everyone. You know, the Passover celebrated by the Jewish community starts with cleaning. It starts with cleaning. No yeast can be found in the house. Those that are extreme clean literally everything. You know, they dig out all the dishes, all the pots, all the pans, all the utensils. They're all re-cleaned, and then they wash the dish rags and stuff, so they're clean. But literally everything in the house has to be cleaned. Everything must be kosher. Stores get in big product quantities of kosher items, which is unleavened, no yeast in it. And they have to eat that for that week. They stock up on kosher food, special food stocked up for the Passover celebration. But no leaven can be eaten or found in the house. Matzah bread is unleavened bread. It's bread without yeast. We know in the Bible, yeast represents sin. It's an active thing. Yeast is a single-cell fungus, if you look it up. It raises dough by consuming the sugars in it and then excreting carbon dioxide. So when you make bread, just realize you're eating fungus excrement. So just think about it when you eat your bread. So. But it eats the sugars and gives off carbon dioxide. So when the bread's baked, the fungus part dies off, and the air-filled pockets that are left are what makes the bread spongy and soft. So, but yeast is everywhere. It's in water, it's in the air, it's literally everywhere. And I probably know if you leave a piece of dough on the countertop, you know, it'll attract the airborne yeast, and it'll settle on it and make its way through that piece and through the loaf and puff it up. It'll raise it up. Jewish people start Passover Eve with a search for leaven. You know, it's a kind of like an Easter egg hunt almost, but they start with a search for leaven called Bedikat Chametz. And what happened on that eve when it gets dark outside, and then they turn the lights off, so it is darkness. And generally the father will guide with a candle. They'll light a candle, and the father will guide the family around the house searching for leaven remnants, you know, or breadcrumbs or anything that might be left in the house. Well, the children look everywhere for these breadcrumbs and that might have been left. And all honesty, mom has already wrapped a few up and stationed them around the corners and in the house for them to find at various spots. Well, the children end up finding them, get excited they found them, and they gather them up. And they even use a feather to sweep them into a bag to clean them off and make sure they got everything. They put them in a bag, and then in the morning, all of it that they've gathered up will be burned the next morning. And the thought was, it's a lesson for them. It's a lesson of the light of God's word, searching hearts for sin hidden in the darkness. The feathers are a reminder of the Holy Spirit sweeping sin away. And then we know God will destroy sin by fire someday. Now, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 7 also talks about the leavened bread. It says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be new, unleavened batch, as you really are. for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, sin like yeast eats away at us. You know, it infiltrates and it separates us from each other. You know, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. You know, a drop of poison in a water bucket spoils the whole batch. It just takes a little bit of sin. But it separates us from God, mostly. Sin separates us from God. It puffs us up. It creates pride. It creates boasting, arrogance, conceit, selfishness. You know, there's a lack of love for others, a lack of care for others. Because it creates that we're the main thing, not God and not others, that we're the main thing. And pride will do that. Proverbs 16, 18, and 19 said, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." So there will be a downfall. Pride leads to downfall. It will happen at some time or another. So boasting and all of that will have a consequences. It won't last. But the malice and wickedness, we need the bread of sincerity and truth. You know, yeast in the body causes sickness. You know, the 1 Corinthians passage is actually talking about sin in the church. You read the beginning, they had some issues in the church, and sin was taking place. It was sin in the church body itself, and they were pretty proud of themselves because they were accepting of it. You know, see how good we are, see how loving we are, see how, because we're including them, you know. You hear that word today a lot, inclusive, and all those types of words. And they were being that way, you know. They were being inclusive and accepting and loving. But what they were being inclusive and loving and accepting was sin. And sin in the body of the church. And so, you know, we have to get rid of sin in our body. You know, you get an infection, you want to get rid of it. You got to take an antibiotic to get rid of it sometimes. So, you know, we have to purge yeast from our body. You know, the old habits that we have should be history since we've got a new birth in Christ. You know, that old person is gone. You know, that old person died. You know, the cross Jesus died on and shed his blood, you know, it removes our sin. It removes our past sin. For those who believe and accept it. But in our new state, our rebirth, it also has the power to remove the desire to sin. You know, our focus should be on Jesus and what he did and what we would want to do to please him, you know, to live that life worthy of what he did for us. It has the power to remove, but it has the power to remove the desire if our focus is where it should be. It's not going to say we're not going to fall sometimes, but it shouldn't be a habit. The habit should be gone. The habit should be changed. If you still want to do what you did before you accepted Christ, then maybe you didn't really do what you thought you did when you proclaimed acceptance of Christ. I'm getting into all these dids and do's and didn'ts and stuff. Kind of like those, But again, if you want to do what you did before you accepted Christ, then maybe you didn't really do what you thought you did when you said you accepted Christ, when you claimed it. So we're going to have an invitation in just a minute. But I also want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. You know, faith in Christ is dying to self. You know, we give ourselves up for him. We die to self and are reborn in him. Faith in Christ is also that we've died to sin. We can't live in it any longer. If you've died to something, you can't live in it anymore. We can't live in sin any longer. You know, Christ is our Passover. Christ is the Passover. You know, we no longer face that death. But due to the Passover, we have eternal life. You know, we've had to have a substitute, like that lamb, to pay completely for our sin. As we studied in Hebrews, all the sacrifices back then only pointed to one that mattered. They couldn't really relieve sin, couldn't really relieve the guilt. They just pointed to the one that could. But we have to have Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died for us. But we've got to exercise faith for salvation. You know, there is something we have to do. We have to exercise faith. We're saved through faith. That's the channel we give it. But we have to apply the blood. You know, the blood's there. You know, it's no good if you don't apply it. You know, the folks then, they wouldn't have applied the blood to the door. It wouldn't have been a good result for them. Wouldn't have been a good result. You know, you got to apply it. If you brush, you know, you can brush your teeth, but without the toothpaste, does it really make a difference? You can go through the motion, but you don't have any positive, permanent results by going through the motion. You got to apply it. Got to apply it. You know, as death went through those homes, you know, he didn't ask who was on the other side of the door. He just saw the blood of the Lamb who conquers death. You know, and if the blood, again, would not have been applied, you say, well, I'm busy, I don't have time to do that, or maybe it's even I'll wait till in the morning. Death would have taken place. Because you weren't obedient, accepting what he said to do. We have to accept the blood of Christ. We have to place it in our hearts so that we too can be passed over by the judgment of death and passed on to eternal life. We have to be ready when the time comes. We have to be ready when the time comes to leave this earth. You can't do it the next day. You can't do it later. So we ask, are you prepared? You know, have you applied the blood of Christ to your life? You know, waiting's pretty risky. Say, well, I've already got time. I'll do it later. No, later may never come. The chance may never come. If death comes and you haven't prepared for it, then it's too late. It's too late. Joni mentioned a lady at one of the tables said it's a good question. The lady said, well, I've always been a believer. We talk about that, we're a believer. But then she was asked, well, have you been saved? So that's a good question. A lot of people say they believe, but have you accepted it? Have you used it? Have you applied it? Have you really taken the blood of Christ to be saved? No, Satan believes. A lot of people can believe, but if you don't apply it, are you saved? Have you fully accepted what he did? So belief is one thing, but accepting it and apply it is another to go the whole way. And you can have that knowledge that you do. You can have an assurance of that. When you accept that, the Holy Spirit will tell you where you are. You'll get answers. You'll have a knowledge of where you stand once you make that step and accept it fully. So I encourage you to not wait. You know, if you're a believer, that's fantastic. But if you happen to be a believer that hasn't applied the blood for salvation, I encourage you to do it today. Make Jesus your Passover today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you did. We thank you for keeping us from death, Lord, that your blood is on the doorpost of our hearts. If we only put it there and accept it there, we see you can overcome death as you did, and you allow us to overcome death as well. But Lord, we just pray for each one, Lord, that we pray for believers. Lord, we're thankful that there are believers. But we pray each and every one takes that step, Lord, and accepts the blood you shed for their life, Lord, for salvation. Lord, we know Satan believed. Demons probably believe because they know, but they're not saved being. Lord, we want everyone to be not only believers, but be saved believers, with the full knowledge that you're their Lord and Savior. Father, we just ask you to help us to ask ourselves and ask others maybe the hard questions that not only if they're a believer, but if they're a saved, if they know you, they have the Holy Spirit within them. Lord, just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he did, for being our Passover lamb, the perfect, spotless substitution for us that makes all the difference. Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and glory. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.